death is not something that we typically want to talk about. We want to talk about life. We want to talk about happiness. We want to talk about tomorrow. And it's a normal thing. None of us really want to sit and think about it. We don't like to dwell on the subject much. You know, at times here or there, our children might ask us some things. Sometimes we find it a very difficult subject to be able to explain to them. The subject is painful, and for many it is a scary topic. Some things that we do not like to dwell on. But it was all part of God's plan after the fall of man. God intended for us to live forever. And He still has that intention. He does not want us to suffer. Of all of creation, God made us in His image. Those things we can read of in 1 Genesis 26 and 27. And giving that honor, God put us over everything on the face of this earth. There is nothing that is beneath man on this earth in the physical realm. He didn't create us to look like Him, but He created us to have a soul, a spirit that will not die. Now, I could think of certain animals in the animal kingdom that would probably make better human beings than humans. When I think about our pets, our dogs especially, and those who have dogs can understand what I'm talking about. They are the most forgiving and forgetting creatures on the face of the earth. But God put this blessing on man. The soul gives us something that atheists and non-believers and scientists can't seem to grasp, a moral conscience. It gives us the ability to feel and to empathize and to sympathize. It gives us an intelligence that can grow. Yes, we can train our animals to do certain things. We've probably even seen some shows where animals actually think they're saying human words. But they aren't eternal. We are. We do not cease to exist. The 90th Psalm in verse 10, it tells us here that about the length of life on this earth, 70 years, 80 if by strength. But it says, and yet is there strength and labor and sorrow, for it shall soon be cut off, and we fly away. Then Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, he said that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to the things that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Now, if you were to attend a number of funerals within a given week, you would assume that everybody was going to heaven. Now, that is the common conception of most folks today. There's a lot of speculation on what happens when we die. I'm glad there's no such thing as reincarnation, though some believe in it, because I certainly won't want to come back as a worm. There's some that believe that we just hang around waiting for a light. Some believe that we go to purgatory, that we wait around in that area until we become good enough to go to heaven. And there are those that believe that we simply cease to exist. Jesus in Matthew 7, in verses 13 and 14, he talks about the gate. And he says, "To enter in ye at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few be there that find it." You know, it's hard for people to understand the concept of narrow and wide when it comes to life. And many of us understand that there is going to be very few people on this narrow path, that so many are going to be traveling with the crowd. And while we are alive, we do have the freedom to travel on one road or the other. In Ephesians 2 and verse 5, Paul wrote here that even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. That there before hath, in the verse preceding that, God is the one that is doing these things, and that he has quickened us together with Christ because of his grace. We were lost, and yet we gained salvation. And we went from that broad path to the narrow path. But we can also go the opposite way. And that is a scary thought for Christians if you want to really sit down and look at what you're more interested in. The life today or the life tomorrow. There are those who believe that you can never fall from grace, but Galatians 5 and verse 4 tells us that Christ has become of no effect to you, that whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Yes, we can fall. But Paul also wrote in Hebrews 6 and verses 4 through 6, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and are made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good work of God and the powers of the world to come, that if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh, and put him to open shame." We're going to leave this sphere one day. It is inevitable. And you're always familiar with this, with the phrase, "No one gets out of this world alive." For James said in James 2 and verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit of it is dead, so faith without works is also dead." And yes, the body is going to go into the ground someplace. It's going to sit there for a number of years. It's going to return to the dust from which it came. But the spirit lives on. We've seen many TV shows or whatever. We've heard of many people who experienced about them dying and seeing a light and giving a choice to go back or to head to the light. And when they head to the light, they die. Whether that experience is true or not, I have no idea. But when we die, there we journey to a place that is known as the Hadean realm. This is not the final destination. This is the transition. And Jesus, standing on the cross when he was there between the two malefactors, and the one was ridiculing Jesus and the other really understood and knew. And in a sense, you could hear his repentance of the actions when he claimed that Jesus was there without guilt, but they were being paid or being punished for the crimes that they committed. And Jesus said to him, "This day you shall be with me in paradise." Jesus tasted death so we wouldn't have to. There is a distinct difference between the Hadean realm and hell. The Hadean realm, if we want to break down the term itself, just means a place for disembodied spirits. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 31, it says, "And he, seeing before he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption." But in this Hadean realm, here's paradise, here's the Hadean realm. There's a separation. There's a place for each. But let's look in Luke 16, the account of this Hadean realm, and starting in verse 19 and going through verse 26. And many of you know the account very well of the rich man and Lazarus. "And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in the bosom. And he cried and he said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all of this, between you and me is and us is a great gulf fixed. And neither can they, so that which would pass from thence you cannot, and we cannot pass over to you.'" Paradise. Torment. The gulf. Can you imagine being in a place where the suffering is so bad that even just a drop of water would feel like paradise? But more important than the differences between these two places is the gulf in between. And that's what should make a tremendous impact on each of us. And it should make that impact that we actually choose what life we want to live today. The rich man, as the account went further, he begged him to send Lazarus back to his brothers, warned them. Christ gives us a warning here. What opportunities we have today, we cannot waste them. Because once we pass over, once we are in this Hadean realm, if we're on the wrong side of the gulf, there's no hope of getting to the right side. Until judgment happens, you're going to be on one side or the other. But if we take this life that we live today, and we put in the effort, then we are going to be waiting in the VIP lounge. We're going to have everything at our fingertips as far as peace and comfort. If we don't make the decision today, we are going to be standing in line at the bathroom with the line so long you can't see the door. David wrote in the 116th Psalm in verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." If we, his saints, are precious to the Lord, why would our death be a good thing? Because the peace that we will enjoy is brought about by our faithfulness. The rich man is going to have a long time to wait. He's going to have to wait until the judgment day, but you see, the judgment day, there is no appeals court per se. You're not going to be able to go to another court and hopefully the verdict would be changed. Your verdict is written. If you end up in the torment side of the Hadean realm, there's no getting out of it because you've placed yourself there. Paul in Hebrews 9, verse 27, he tells us it is appointed for men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And it is all of those who have spent their time in paradise or torment, they're going to stand before Christ. 2 Peter 3, in verse 10, he says, "By the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all the works that are therein shall also be burned up." You see, this makes it also important because the very day can come before this service ends. See, a thief doesn't come and knock on the door. Well, they do today. They come to see if you're home. But they're going to wait until they can do their work unnoticed. We're not going to have an appointment. Even though there are many people out there, there are many books out there that is telling us when this appointed day is coming. When that judgment day comes, what happens then? What about those who have already died? John 5, in verses 28 and 29. Says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." This is what happens on the judgment day to the dead. They're going to hear his voice, and everybody's going to know who that voice is. And then their sentence will be cast in stone. They're going to be judged by what they have done in their life. If they follow God's directions, they're going to have a good eternity. What about those living? This was a problem for the brethren in Thessalonica. They were so concerned that those who had died, that's why Paul preached wrote a very long letter to them on this very subject. They were so concerned that those who were in the Lord died before he came back, and they didn't think they were going to be able to partake of it. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52, Paul writes here, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." See, when Christ comes back, there's no need for this body that we have, because this body has been made from the ground itself. It is an imperfect body. Well, God made it perfect, but man ruined it. But even that perfect body that God made still had to be maintained. He had placed in the garden that tree of life. It was the tree of life that was going to sustain man on earth for eternity. But through his downfall, God took that tree away. If we have done well, we will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Matthew 25, verse 32. We are all going to be judged, every one of us. And we're going to have to give an account of all the good things and the bad things that we have done in our lives. And it will be after that judgment that we will know exactly where we will spend eternity. Have you ever imagined what eternity will be like? If you were to take an ant and place that ant on the equator and have him walk around the earth, around the equator, until he has created a trench 6 inches deep, you won't even scratch a dent in eternity. If you take one termite and you let him eat all the wood on earth, the time that would take him to finish that task would be a speck of time in eternity. I can't imagine something that has no beginning and no end. I can't fathom it at all. People today take that word eternity too lightly. They don't place and don't give it the credit that it deserves. This is it. Whatever judgment we have received, that is where we will be for eternity. That rich man's going to have a long, hard row to hoe. And there will never, ever be relief. You know, back during the Gulf War, when we were getting things prepared during Desert Shield and we were out in the sun during the day because I just happened to work the day shift and we were filling sandbags. Now, there was no shade. And we couldn't dig up the ground, so we had to sit out there and we had to get 20-ton dump trucks coming in and dumping sand for us. And after he dumped the sand, then we go to work with shovels and bags and fill sandbags, thousands and thousands of sandbags. And we were just waiting for some relief. Never in a place where I could never wait for sunset, for just the temperature just to get down to 90 degrees. You look forward to 90 degrees. Spending eternity in hell, there is going to be no 90 degrees. The suffering is for eternity. The joy and the happiness is for eternity, and that's the choice that's before us today. Once our spirit leaves this body, there ends opportunity. It will never come around again. We have a God of second chances only while we are alive. That's it. The second chances end when we die. We're not going to be able to, as one group does, go out and get baptized for someone that's already dead. We can't save souls that are already lost through death, those who never grasp the opportunity. Where do you stand today? Death is just a door for humans. For animals, it is final, but for humans, it's a door. We are just passing from this life to the next one. That's all. And it's hard that when those we love have passed through that door, it's hard for us to be able to reconcile that fact. But I know many of us here in this room today, we find comfort in that those that we love, we knew where they were heading. We knew that paradise awaited them. But we also know of those that we also loved where we know where they reside today. And that's heartbreaking. We don't have to end up like that. Where do we stand today? If we had to honestly evaluate our lives today and our stance today, can we honestly say which side of that great gulf are we going to be on? Which path are you on today? That broad path or the narrow path? We have a choice today to make things right, to get on the right path. If we wait until it's too late, there will be no second chances, period. If you're not a Christian today, I pray that you'll think about these things. But I don't want you to think long and hard on it. I want you to think honestly with yourselves and quickly, because there are no guarantees in this life. But if you are a Christian and you need to make things right with God, if you've stumbled off of the narrow path and wandered over to the broad path, you can come back through repentance. You can make things right with God, but it has to be done while you're living. If there's anyone that has a need this evening, we want to give you that opportunity as together we stand and we sing.